Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of Living Hope, a weekly journey designed to provide education, hope, inspiration, all that and more for those living with pancreatic cancer. Sharing the real-life stories of those really affected by this deadly disease and how they deal with it on a daily basis. Or today, how they continue to deal with it on a very special anniversary, right, Robert?
Yeah, today we have a very special guest with us coming back. He's been with us a few times. We're so thankful to have him back, especially today. It's not very often I get to have somebody come back on their actual anniversary, I guess is what we call it, right?
Yeah.
We're celebrating. Tom is back with us today, Tom Morzak. He's a 12-year pancreatic cancer survivor whose journey began on an extraordinary day today, Leap Day. So, hi, Tom. Thanks for coming back. We really appreciate it. And for those of you who aren't watching or just listening, you look awesome. You look great.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
For those who haven't met you yet and don't know your story, can you just kind of briefly or summarize it or go into it a little bit so those can kind of catch up?
Sure. Well, it was 12 years ago today, February 29th. So maybe I'm only three instead
there
of 12.
You go. Okay.
But on February 29th, I got the phone call with the official diagnosis that I had pancreatic cancer. That phone call was the culmination of about 6 weeks of diagnostic testing and doctor visits and abdominal pain and all kinds of other things that culminated with an endoscopy with the fine needle aspiration. So they did the biopsy, and I was driving up the Pasadena freeway when I got a phone call from the gastroenterologist who said, "Are you alone?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Oh, I'll call you back." And I said, "You've said enough." And I went home and sat down with my wife, and we had the conversation, and then we were off to the races, I guess would be a good way of putting it.
How did you tell your wife? I mean, I remember having to tell my family. It was one of the most difficult things I ever had to do. In fact, I actually found myself apologizing. So, you know, how did you tell your wife? And you also have a daughter. How did you deal with that?
Those are two separate issues. So my daughter was 9 years old at the time, and we knew that this was a potentially very bad situation. And the gastroenterologist, I saw a series of them, had broached the topic that it very well may be cancer. You have a mass on your pancreas, and, you know, that's often a bad outcome. And so we had done our best to shield our daughter. We didn't want her to go through that. So actually, last night, as my wife and I were reminiscing about that year, about 2012, she was going through her calendar, and it was filled up with, you know, Girl Scout cookies and choir practice and cello lessons and all the things that our daughter was
small
doing. We tried to keep life as normal as possible.
So hopefully this
in relation to my wife, you know,
and
she knew that this was a possibility. She'd been, like many people, spending a lot of time on Google and getting even more terrified by that potential news. And she met me at the back door, which I don't remember, but she told me last night she met me at the back door, and I said, "I got a call from the doctor," and I just looked at her, and she knew, and we had a hug and went in and sat down and said, "Wow, okay, let's see what happens." I had already actually had a Whipple scheduled at this point on the same day that I had the endoscopy. It had been suggested to me that I find a surgeon prior to this. So the same day I had the endoscopy, I'd met with my surgeon, Rick Selby, who looked at the CAT scan and said, "Yeah, there's a mass in there. This thing has to come out regardless. So we're going to schedule for a Whipple." So I actually had my Whipple on, I think it was March 8th. So just about a week later. So we knew that was coming. And obviously, let's hope that this all works out well. Get in, get it out, and sort of see what happens.
Well, you're probably really extraordinary to have, you know, the diagnosis on Leap Day, but also to already have the Whipple planned before even getting the diagnosis.
You know, it made a lot of sense. You know, somebody said, "Look, there's something in there. You know, we can see it. We don't know exactly what it is, but it's going to have to come out." It was at the head of my pancreas, and it was blocking the duct, the bile duct that was coming out of the pancreas, which is what was causing me pain. And it was, you know, very likely as a result of where that tumor was located and the fact that I was exhibiting symptoms that got me in for the diagnostic test and the eventual diagnosis. That's probably a big reason why I'm here. You know, very, very unlucky to have this happen, and very lucky to have it happen where it did, so that I had an ability to get to it before it spread. And even with that, it was right up against the portal vein. Back then, they weren't, very few people were doing surgeries when you had the portal vein involved. And my surgeon, who had been doing this for years, had lost count of how many he had done. He actually had to bring in a second surgeon to help him out to get that tumor off the edge of the portal vein. And, you know, so it all made sense. And, you know, the way that I had approached it from the beginning was, okay, I have a problem. I have a stomach ache. Oh, well, it seems like my pancreas is involved in this based on the blood readings and the insanely elevated enzyme levels that were being exhibited. And then, you know, little by little by little, okay, deal with it on a step-by-step basis. And when one of the doctors suggested that, you know, you probably want to get a surgeon, this is going to have to come out. Okay, that was the next step, find somebody. And we kind of crowdsourced it and found a great guy. And, you know, just a combination of all of the, you know, the things that happened to me and the resources, mainly the friends and family that I was able to access to get the best medical care in the world, arguably. That brings me to today, 12 years later, one very lucky and one very happy guy.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic to have you here. I've watched you go through a lot, and it's just great to have you and see you here on your 12th anniversary and celebrating and looking so good and doing so well. Is your life pretty back to normal? You have a different normal than you had before the diagnosis?
So two ways of looking at that. You know, so I had my surgery in March of 2012. There was a number of lymph nodes that were involved. I think it was 5 lymph nodes were positive. So we knew we had to do the adjuvant chemotherapy treatment. So in May, I started chemo. I was on FOLFIRINOX. I was one of the early FOLFIRINOX users, so to speak. And that lasted up until late October. And obviously that affects your life, as you well know, deeply. No, and I was quote unquote functioning through a lot of this. I went to work almost every day, except when I was in the hospital getting infusions. I wore the pump into work, and I wasn't maybe the most productive employee at that time, but I made it into work most days and got through. And by the end of the year, I was starting to feel, you know, better. My neuropathy, fortunately, had dissipated largely after 6 or 8 weeks after finishing the protocol. And then I entered 2023 and I decided I was going to start playing golf again. And I did. And, you know, getting your energy back and, you know, all sort of the normality of life, it takes quite a while for that to happen. At least it did for me. But I think I did get back to largely a normal life. I'm very lucky in terms of, you know, while your ability to process food is forever changed after a Whipple, I can basically eat what I want. I eat, you know, I have a sort of a normal diet and probably should be a little bit better diet. I shouldn't eat as many cheeseburgers as I do, but I do. And I can, you know, go out and carry my golf bag and walk 18 holes. I have enough strength and energy to do that. I am, you know, affected by this on a daily basis. You're, you know, you have abdominal pain because of digestive issues. So that's just sort of a constant reminder that pops up on a very regular basis. I also have sort of mystery illnesses that take me down. We were talking about this earlier. I got sick a week and a half ago. Not sure I had a cold, but, you know, I was laid out on the couch for 3 days and I'm still kind of sort of recovering. And that seems to happen 3 or 4 times a year. Just, I call it the hit by a truck syndrome. And I'm positive that's related to, you know, everything that I went through and related to this disease. But essentially, I can do what I want. I have to be careful about certain things. I have to be cognizant of infections. I was in the hospital a year ago with a bacterial blood infection that led to sepsis. And, you know, that took me off the grid for quite a few weeks. But I travel, I play golf, I go fly fishing, I do everything. And I approach every day with a level of appreciation and gratefulness that I did not have before. It certainly, going through this process, has given me a different outlook on life and to appreciate that things can change on a dime. I mean, I literally woke up one day and I had a stomach ache. Out of nowhere, had no idea. And from that day on, my life changed. And the fact that I've been able to get through that, to power through that, both physically and emotionally, has led me to the point where I appreciate that, you know, every day is a gift. Everybody that you surround yourself with and that you have the ability to interact with and care for and love and provide for and share with, it's everything's a gift. And that's a beautiful place to be as far as I'm concerned.
It is, and I know people don't understand when I say this, and but it's like getting diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, it wasn't the worst thing that ever happened to me. In some ways, it was actually the best thing that ever happened to me, because it does, it changes you. It makes you appreciate, I mean, just, you know, smelling the coffee, smelling the roses, just seeing, I mean, going out and seeing the rainbow or seeing the clouds or even the rain or whatever, it makes you appreciate life and people so much more. Mm-hmm. That I know when I say that, people look at me like they're going to put me in the little white jacket and take me away. But, you know, you have to, I think you have to go through it to understand that.
I think you're exactly right. Anytime you go through a life-threatening situation like this, and obviously getting a cancer diagnosis, and particularly getting a pancreatic cancer diagnosis, is not everybody makes it out of it. And the lucky number of people that do, it changes your life. And I certainly don't wish it on anybody, and I'm sure you don't wish it on anybody, but we've been able to take the experience and to turn it into something productive and to change our outlook on life. You know, you're super active and committed to serving the community of pancreatic cancer patients. I tip my hat to you, and I wish that I had, I wish I didn't have to work and I had more time to do it. That, quite frankly, is something I plan on doing in retiring, is devoting a lot more time to the cause, working with patients, working with the organizations that try to help us out. But in the meantime, you know, that outlook of appreciation and beauty and, you know, occasionally grace, as you're able to share your experience and to take your experience and to appreciate everything that we've been given here on God's green earth, that's a good thing. Yes. You know, I can't really see it any other way.
You're 100% right. It's not something I would wish on my worst enemy, but at the same time, for myself, and I wish, you know, my family didn't go through it, but for myself, it has been a blessing. I'm not sure my children and my husband would agree, but it's just something that changes you forever, and people don't understand unless they've been, you know, been through it.
Right. But
I think you're doing a great job by coming on and talking with us many times. We really appreciate, because you're very honest and open and easy to talk with. And that's what really helps people and inspires them, that to think that, you know, if you can do this or we can do this, maybe at least it gives them some hope, even if it's not for as long as we would like. But just that little bit of hope that we don't always get from our medical team. So, you know, sometimes that's difficult. Yeah. But
you know, sharing the experiences, I don't think there's any substitute for it. And whenever I talk to a new patient, which I do on a fairly regular basis, whether it be a pancreatic patient or had a conversation with a new breast cancer patient who I happen to know just a couple of weeks ago, and you know, there are commonalities to a cancer diagnosis and certain things you're going to go through, and everybody's experience is different and different cancers are different, but you know, first off, it's what it does to you psychologically, and then also what it does to you physically is listening to other people's experiences. And I'm uncomfortable to some extent with the notion that I give hope to people. But I also accept that, yeah, people look at me as a long-term survivor, as an exemplar. And I'm actually sort of happy with that. You know, people can look at me and say, look, if this idiot can do it, maybe I can do it too. And that's exactly right. You know, everybody has a chance of getting through this. Unfortunately, we all, you know, don't make it, but we all have a shot at doing it. And if you put forth the effort and if everything fits into place, you know, maybe you'll be here like us many years down the road and getting ready to go see that eclipse in a few weeks and see one of the most beautiful things ever on the planet.
There you go. You do your bucket list. Why we wait till we think we're going to be able to do that?
Exactly.
We don't know how much time. So if you want to do something, do it now. Don't wait till, you know, you're retired. You think you have the time.
Right.
Because you don't know. We don't know what our future holds.
Right.
What's the hardest question that somebody just newly diagnosed has ever asked you?
Oof. I don't know. That's a tough question. I'm going to have to think about that one for a minute. You know, what I often find is is people who are newly diagnosed don't know what to ask, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a series of points that I make to people initially. It's like, this is what you can expect. Here's what I went through. And I believe you will go through a somewhat similar, at least in terms of procedures, and this is what it's like to undergo chemo, and these are the possible side effects you're going to have. And I always mention Whipple attacks. You talked about how doctors don't share certain things with you. Doctors never tell you about Whipple attacks. Right. That's something you hear about from patients. And I say, write down the name of this drug, hyoscyamine. Get some of that in case you have a Whipple attack. So there are certain things, a lot of people are just fearful and afraid, and that's completely understandable. It's with any situation that's brand new, you've never been through, you don't know what to expect, is to have somebody say, okay, here's what's going to happen, and you're not going to be in abject pain, and the chemo may knock you out, but you're going to be able to get up, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is not going to, put you onto the ground and just lay you out completely. It does happen sometimes, but it probably won't. And you'll be able to do things as you go through it and to give somebody some understanding of what it's all about. That's how I approach it. In terms of difficult questions, I can't answer the question.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Yeah. I was just curious because I know I get asked a lot and I don't have an answer for is, why are you still surviving, or what did you do? What did you do different that you're surviving and maybe my loved one didn't? To me, right. That's a question. It gets me every single time because it's not an answer I really have. The only thing I can say is God isn't done with me.
Right.
But that's not something a lot of people want to hear.
Some people don't want to hear it. Some people do.
Yeah.
I remember when I was undergoing treatment and there were, prayer groups that were set up for me. And I'm not particularly religious, but I thought, that's great. Thank you very much for doing that. But in terms of that question and how I deal with it, the only honest answer that I have for people is I was very lucky. Look, you get pancreatic cancer, you're unlucky. It is an unlucky draw of the cards, right? It's a crappy poker hand. Play it and see what happens. And sometimes you win and sometimes you don't. And we know that going in, but you still got to play the game. And the fact that I was lucky, I didn't deserve it. I don't know why I'm one of the people that has made it all these years, but I'm very happy, and it could be you or you or you. Everybody fits into the same situation as I do. There's hope for everybody.
It's interesting you say that because I've always felt, a lot of people that we've lost, they deserve to live much more than I do. And, so that's always really hard when we lose them and you're thinking, why? But it's not something like you said.
It's not for us to decide.
No.
And however you attribute it, whether you attribute it to a higher power or to just random dumb luck, quality science, whatever it may be.
A combination of everything.
But I think at the end of the day, I was just extremely lucky. And I don't know why, but I'm very, very pleased. And people around me are pleased. And I do everything to pay back, to provide something to the world, because I've been blessed with this extended period of life, essentially.
Yeah, and I think you do a good job of it. Like I said, you've done a lot of things. I know you're big with Hirschberg Foundation and, very happy to see a lot of the events and stuff they do there. But, just talking with others and getting the word out there. And, you said something about, said the poker game, and it made me think of Randy Pausch had said, it's not the cards you're dealt, it's how you deal with them. It's how you play them.
So. Exactly, right? Life throws things at you. The pipe springs a leak.
There you go.
Okay, let's deal with it. What are you going to do? Maybe you can fix it, or you got to call the plumber, or you got to evacuate the house because there's 2 feet of water in the floor. Whatever it may be, you deal with the situation. Look, some situations are worse than others, and some situations are scarier, but, I like to think that I can provide some support to somebody who's going through what I once went through. And I do that as often as I can. And groups like Hirschberg refer people to me, or, friends of a friend of a friend. People will just call me randomly. And I will give them all the time that I possibly can to share my experience, to try to offer some hope. and just to walk somebody through the process. You know, knowledge is power.
Yeah, I agree, because that's, at least when I was diagnosed, it wasn't out there a lot. The doctors weren't telling us, giving us this power or even this hope. So to have somebody else, and when I met my first survivor, I was like, oh my God, there is a survivor outside there. So it's really good to share that and let them know. For me, I want to know everything I have to face, but that doesn't mean you have to beat me up about it. I don't have to hear it all the time, but put it on the table so I know what I am dealing with, so I know how to move on from there. And I think if doctors could just do that, and I understand why maybe they don't, but you know, so it's good to have survivors like us around who you may not want to hear the truth sometimes or the ugly of it, but I think you have to so that you can fight it.
I think that's very true. And also, I mean, not to denigrate doctors, they have skills that I can't imagine, this and that. But in some ways, doctors are mechanics, right? And particularly the surgeons. So you bring in the car, and they open the hood, and they fix it, and you drive out the door, and they're like, my job is done. Okay, great. You did a great job. But there's more to keeping that car running and to making sure that it's running at peak performance and all that type of thing. And there are tricks of the trade that they don't know. There are tricks of the trade that the oncologists don't know, and the nutritionists and this and that. And that's where the patient information, someone who's actually lived through it, and all of the variables that come into play, and all of the knowledge and information that I've gotten from other, from the hundreds and hundreds of other patients that I've talked to, sharing that information and being able to answer questions when something weird or whatever happens to other people out there, say, oh yeah, I've heard about that. And here's where we can get information, or here's what this person did, or here's what I did to deal with that. That's an important part that people, for all kinds of different reasons, don't want to get into. And I always, that's one of the first things I encourage cancer patients, is find someone who's going through it. If it's pancreatic cancer, I'll talk to you. If you don't like me, I'll find somebody else. If it's breast cancer, find another woman who's going through it. Find a support group. Just try it. You may not like it, and it may not be for you, but I really encourage you to try it, because being in that environment, that sharing, caring, loving environment, and the bits of information that you're not going to hear from medical professionals really go a long way. I'm a true believer in that.
Yeah, I am too. And I wish, you know, doctors sometimes would be a little more honest, but maybe they're just, you know, fearful. They don't want to maybe take everything away.
I think it's part of, you know, look, we know what the stats are. And, you know, we know how difficult the situation is. And if you're a doctor specializing in pancreatic cancer, you know, you've seen a lot of people go. That is just the unfortunate reality of it. But also, there are just things that they're just not familiar with because they haven't experienced it, right? And we have, and we can share that information.
Yeah, like you say, the oncologist may not know something the nutritionist can give you for. I mean, especially when a lot of times you hear people talking about dumping. That's something that, you know, that somebody's not going to know, but you can kind of go in and talk to them about that and and follow up. Do you have any fear or anxiety about reoccurrence?
Yes, but on a very minimal scale. Someone actually asked me this question yesterday and actually this morning driving down here, you know, are you out of the woods? And I'm not, but I largely am at this point. But I know people who at 13, 15 years had recurrences clean for years. So I know that that is a possibility, but I don't think about it. Once I got past 5 years, that level of anxiety that I had largely left. And I'll be honest, and I try to be honest with people about it. That first year and a half to 2 years from that point of diagnosis, I actually didn't have a lot of anxiety. I did not think, oh, this could end very, very badly for me. And then oddly enough, after, and I don't remember exactly, it was a year and a half to 2 years after, it all came down on me. And I lost my mind for a couple of months where it's all that I thought about. And I was perfectly, you know, healthy as I could be, had a super good outcome. Everything was working out good. My body was largely functioning. And I had this emotional, psychological just depths that I fell into for a couple of months. And I just kind of walked through it. And then I came out the back door of it, you know, feeling sort of good again. And I know that, your mileage may vary on how that works and that anxiety and fear that we all have to deal with to some extent. But I was very lucky, and you know, for a number of years now, it's not something that I think about.
Yeah, good. You know? I know when I reached my fifth, I didn't want to get out of bed. I pulled the covers over my head because on that fifth year, I was like, okay, as soon as I touch the ground, I'm gone. So I'm,
right.
You know, it's something
right.
that, like you say, you go through. But we're happy to have you, and I hope you're going to celebrate somehow today. I don't know what your plans are for celebrating, but
the bad news is I'm going to work.
Oh darn.
Yeah, that's the bad news.
But well, you can celebrate afterwards.
My wife and I will share another couple of moments, and you know, the fact, you know, my wife was my caregiver. She's the one that got me through it. You know, I'll never be able to thank her enough. And the fact that I was able to see my daughter grow up, she's in her third year of college right now, and the commitment that I made, I don't know if commitment may be a strong word, my overwhelming desire when I got diagnosed was to see my daughter graduate high school. That was the day that I woke up and want to keep the covers over my head. I'm like, okay, I've met the goal. Now what?
There you go.
And now we're a few years past that. And, you know, I'm so blessed and I'm so lucky. And it's made me a better person. It's made me a nicer, sort of less wound up, trying to find a word to articulate it, and it's difficult. I'm just more relaxed when I deal with people, yeah. And I'm
the
not as stressed
rage is
out.
Gone, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it still pops up, but it's not like what it was. And that's definitely one of the more positive effects that's come out of it.
Yeah, I've said that too. It's made me a better person. And again, thank you so much for coming and sharing your anniversary date with us today. And it was happy to have you here and thrilled to see you.
I can't think of a better way to spend it. Thank you very much for having me here.
Well, we have to have you come back. And I know you wanted to do a special dedication, so I'll let you do that.
I have a friend, Tom Gregory, who is a pancreatic cancer patient for the past 15, 16 months, and he's having a rough time right now, so I want to dedicate the show to him and to his wife, Debbie, his primary caregiver, and my love and support goes out to them.
And we give our love and support and keep him in our prayers as well. So mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Wow, we were there for the 12th anniversary. Come back. We got more stories like this to share on Living Hope, a weekly journey designed to provide hope, inspiration, and education for those living with pancreatic cancer. And if you know somebody who is starting the journey or needs some help along the way, lots of resources. We pass them on each and every week. Let's go with the Hirschberg Foundation this week. Pretty simple to find them. Pancreatic.org. Just spell it out, pancreatic.org. And you can talk to someone like Tom about what you're going through and what you're facing and the journey ahead. As we continue this journey ourselves right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.